Matthew's Gospel, first book of the New Testament. Hallelujah. I love Matthew's version of the genealogy of Jesus Christ. I know you get lost in the begats, but there's a blessing in the begats. The baby knows it. The begats tells you the stuff that God was willing to go through. It doesn't ignore the mess of life. It names all the people who had all this stuff and issues. That's what incarnate means. God with us. That he would wrap himself in flesh. Oh, I don't have no help already. That he would wrap himself in flesh to dwell with us. And that he would have to come through all of these people just to get here. God always comes in seed form. And we always misjudge how he comes. Because we just wanted mature. We wanted adult. We wanted ready made. We want the dream ready made. We want our destinies mature. We don't want no dilemmas. We don't want to have to make no decisions. We just want to show up and whoop, that is. Doesn't work that way. And so you might skip over the begats like I'm doing right now, but there's a blessing in the begats. That's a word for some preacher. Y'all should preach that, one of y'all preachers. The Bible says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded. He was thinking about it. He was talking to himself about it. He was considering. He was minded to put her away secretly. I got to put her away secretly because if I tell somebody, or if somebody finds out, it's going to be a scandal. It's going to be a spectacle. But while he thought about these things, Lord have mercy. Oh, God. Thank God for divine disruptions. While he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Yeah. So all of this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated, God with us. Yeah. Uh-huh. Then Joseph, being awoke from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife. Yeah. Oh, God. And did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. I want to preach to you from the subject matter, a covenant conversation. Spirit of the living God, in these next few moments you have given, speak by your Spirit. Move by your power. Our goal here is not to be entertained, but to be changed. We came to have our minds renewed, our hearts healed, our hopes refreshed. And only your Spirit can do that. Your word is an instrument this morning. It is the only tool that can separate soul from spirit and discern the intentions of our hearts. Your word is the only thing that can get down to the real matter and the real issues and the real stuff that we're holding in our hearts. So I ask that you speak by your word this morning, a word that causes us to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, and not conform to the image of this world. Touch our hearts so it's open to receive this word, and on our ears that we're able to hear it. The most important thing, Father, is that you have your way today. Do whatever it is you want to do. This is your house. We are your people. And we will give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name. If you agree, shout amen.
Amen.
Turn to your neighbor. Smile as bright as you can. Come on. Show them everything God has blessed you with. You know how we do at KLC. I want to look at them and say, God is talking to you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. We drop into a conversation that Joseph is having with an angel of the Lord. He has to have this conversation because Joseph got information about his fiance. In Jewish tradition, there were three steps to a wedding. There was the engagement, there was the betrothal, and then there was the actual wedding or the marriage. And we caught Joseph in the middle of the two. They were already engaged to be married. This could take place because in that culture and during that time, most marriages were arranged. And so this tells us that perhaps they were arranged to be married. And because of that, he was already obligated to take her as his wife. But now they are betrothed, which means that the engagement is legal. Yeah, yeah. That now it is as if she is his wife. Only to find out that now his wife is expecting. But it ain't from him. Yeah. We talk about this and we glance over it, but if you can just for a second step into the psyche of a male individual as it relates to somebody he is in relationship with, this is a hard thing. For this man to have the thought that he was just as the Bible describes. And so his thought process was, well, I'm not going to make a spectacle out of it. I'm not going to embarrass her, which tells me he had deep feelings for her and he cared for her. I'm not going to embarrass her. I'm going to divorce her, but I'm going to make it a private matter. I'm going to get rid of her, but I'm not going to tell nobody. I'm just going to let it go, and I'm going to make it private, because if I do it now, then no one has to worry about it, and I don't have to live with the criticism and the spectacle of the drama and the stigma of what just took place. And so at first, I thought Joseph was thinking about Mary. And then as I really read it a little longer and stared at it a little harder, I started thinking, oh, he was thinking about himself. It wasn't so much that he was not trying to embarrass her. It was that he didn't want to have to live with the criticism and the embarrassment of people and the scandal of being with somebody who is now expecting, and everybody knows it ain't yours. Oh, God, Lord, have mercy. I'm expecting something, but everybody knows it's not mine. I'm expecting, but everybody knows it didn't come from me. And I don't know if I can live with the criticism that when the baby comes, that it don't have my eyes, and it don't have my hair, and it don't have my nose, and I can't call it Junior. I gotta call it Jesus. I don't know if I can deal with that psychologically, that I'm expecting something that does not come from me. And so God interrupts his thought process through a dream and starts to have this conversation with him that sounds like covenant to me. And the reason why he wants to have this conversation with Joseph is simply because Joseph is about to make a decision that's detrimental to his destiny. And whenever you're about to make a decision that is detrimental to your destiny, God brings divine interruption to cause you to hold on for a few seconds so that he can have a covenant conversation with you. The problem that we have in the text is that Joseph has to learn to live with something that is going to show up that did not come from him. He did not birth it. It is not his seed. It did not come from him. He is not the progenitor. He is not the baby daddy. Y'all ain't said nothing. And he's got to live with this. And he's still got to figure out, can I love Mary? Can I love the vehicle through which this thing is going to come while dealing with the pain that it did not come from me? If you see the spiritual implication here, you wouldn't think I'm talking about Joseph and Mary and their relationship. I'm really talking about you and the way you date your destiny. That's what I'm talking about. Because some of you are dating destiny and you got to make a decision to marry it. And the reason why you don't want to marry it is because destiny is pregnant with something that did not come from you. God is telling you he's about to do a thing, but you don't think you got the capability or the power or the know-how to make that thing come to be, let alone raise it to maturity. I'm talking to somebody here. So you date destiny, you don't marry it. And you're about to make a decision to divorce it privately. God's been speaking to you about dreams. He's been giving you visions. He's been telling you to step out, but you've just been dating destiny. Look at your neighbor and say, if you like it, you got to put a ring on it, boo. Come on here. Oh, I ain't getting no help here from anybody. He told you 5 years ago, start that thing. He told you 2 years ago, go back to school. He told you 3 years ago, forgive those people. He told you some stuff that you've just been dating. You've been messing around with it. You've been calling it up when you're lonely. I wish I had somebody in here, but you have not really committed to it yet. Legally, Joseph is committed to Mary, and it's bound by covenant. God, I'm preaching. It's bound by covenant, but he is trying to get out of the covenant because she's carrying something that didn't come from him. Mm-hmm. I got news for you. God is always traveling in something you don't want to commit to. A circumstance, a difficulty, a process that we don't want to commit to. There's a reason why y'all sitting here staring at me like this is a show. Because I'm coming straight for you. You've been dating destiny too long. Look at your neighbor and say, I got to make a decision. Come on here. I got to commit today. I have to become intentional about my actions, about my behavior. Because if I don't become intentional about my behavior, I'll beg my way into my future instead of behave my way into my future. And beggars need not apply for what is coming into your life next. You can't beg for this. You got to behave for this, which means your intentions and your actions and your decisions has to align up with everything that God is saying that you are supposed to be. You have to stop telling folk what you're not, and you have to start believing who God says you are. You got to stop having these conversations about what you don't have and what you lack. I wish I had somebody in here. Look at your neighbor and say, he's talking right to you. He's talking right to you. Here's why. The Bible lets us know a little bit about covenant and about the intentionality of God. In other words, God is intentional. And if you understand his intent, then you can understand his eternal purpose. Isaiah 46, 9 and 10 says this, I am God and there is none like me. He says, I declare the end from the beginning. And from ancient times, things which have not been done, saying, my purpose will be established and I will accomplish all my good pleasure. In other words, the statement I just gave you highlights, it highlights something that is important for us to understand. In other words, we have to have a broad understanding of God and his eternal purpose. In other words, God is entirely purposeful. Why are y'all so quiet up in here? He's entirely purposeful. He declares and sees his desire complete before it is manifested before human eyes. So when God declares a thing, it's already done before it manifests, y'all don't hear what I'm saying, in your eyes. He spans all of the time, if you will. And so his purpose or his intent is internal in nature. And so ultimately, his purpose will be fulfilled. That lets us know that our view of time is inadequate to understand eternity. Eternity is not something that our finite minds can conceptualize, because we count our days and seconds and minutes and hours, which brings us to a day, which takes us to a week, which takes us to months, which takes us to years. And so because of that, that's how we view time. But God does not view time by the calendar or the clock. God views time by covenant. He views time by his word. His word shall stand forever. I wish I had somebody. And as long as God has spoken his word, then there is time. As long as God has spoken his word, then there is time. As long as God has spoken his word, I'm going to break this thing up. Then there is time. As long as God has spoken his word, then there is time. Look at your name and say, you got time. Because you got a word. My word cannot return. God said, my word, Isaiah 55, my word cannot return unto me void. It must accomplish what it was sent to do, and it must prosper in the thing that I sent it to. God is unswervingly intentional. My word, when it goes out of my mouth, it can't come back to me unaccomplished. It can't come back to me empty. God is saying, I might be complex, but I'm not ambiguous. I might be hard to figure out, but I'm telling you exactly what I'm about to do. And when I speak a word into your life, it's spoken and it's already done. It's just that now you got to get into cooperation and match my intent with your intent. All right, let me say it to you this way. If you don't understand what intent is something that is purpose, designed. It is an act or a fact of intending. It is really the state of a person's mind that directs his or her actions toward a specific object. Look at your name and say, how intentional are you? Oh God, I'm preaching way better than y'all shouting. Maybe I gotta teach it. How intentional
eternal are you? God's intent is one with his eternal purpose. In other words, God says, I'll wait all eternity until my word is fulfilled. In other words, until it gets accomplished, I'll sit back here and wait, because that's how intentional I am. Look at your neighbor and say, how intentional are you? I wish I had somebody in here. You see, our intent is muddied sometimes because of adversity and, moreover, insecurity. When we start feeling insecure about the view of the big picture and if it can unfold or not, or if it's going to happen or not, we start giving in to the time and we start telling ourselves it ain't never going to happen. Or we start going through the process in time, and the process is so difficult. Oh God, I'm preaching about it. It's so difficult that you would rather be in a place of safety than be in a place of potential. So what you start doing is you start maximizing your safety and minimizing your potential. So you rather stay safe instead of risk failure, risk harm, risk embarrassment. Who am I talking to in this room? Am I talking to you? Just say, you are talking to me. You go through it, you go through life a little long, and you start stepping out here on faith. It sounds good. It sounds wonderful. My dream, my blessing, my business, my this, my that, my endeavor, my ambition, my pursuit. I'm going to pursue. I'm going to recover. Oh, that sounds wonderful until you start pursuing. And we don't want to have the conversation that's difficult to say that I was about to divorce my destiny, because I couldn't handle, I was too insecure to handle the fact that God is about to bring something into my life that did not come from me. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying? And I got to raise the thing. I'm preaching way better than y'all shouting. And I don't have the capability of raising what God is giving me. Yeah. So if I can just separate myself from the thing altogether, I'll be just fine. But Joseph doesn't understand there's a word backing the decision that he's about to make. And you can't make the decision because the word is about to show up and interrupt that decision that's going to be fatal to your destiny. It lets me know that God couldn't come to him in the natural, so he had to speak to him in his dreams. When God can't conversate with you consciously, I'm going to talk to myself up in here. I don't know what's going on at KLC this morning, but I'm going to talk to myself. When God can't talk to you consciously, he figures out a way to slip in the word unconsciously. That's how intentional. Oh, come on, somebody. That's how intentional he is. You're not, okay, this is a good example. You ain't going to listen to the preacher. I'll catch you in your dreams. Oh God, you ignored the word through the coworker. I'll find you in your dreams. That person I sent to you in the grocery store, you weren't paying them no mind, and you haven't linked this whole thing up, but while you're sleeping, I'm going to talk to you about your destiny, because you're about to make a foolish decision. I'm talking to somebody, this is probably why my fight is so hard this morning. I'm talking to somebody that's about to make a foolish decision, and you're about to divorce your destiny, and you don't understand your entire life is wrapped up in what God is about to produce. You got to let go of the fact that it did not come from you. And you got to learn how to, oh God, I can't get help from somebody. And you got to learn how to receive it anyway. It's a covenant conversation that God comes to him in his dream. That's how intentional God is. Because in God's mind, it's already done. This begs the question, can God's intent be defeated? Oh, God, I'm preaching way better than y'all shouting. Can God's intent, we having a conversation, I'm sorry. Can God's intent be defeated? Can my decision disrupt God's intent so much so that it defeats the purpose of God? Touch your neighbor and say, you can't defeat God's purpose. Oh, God, I'm preaching way better than y'all shouting. You can't defeat God's purpose.
See, God's intent usually unfolds in our desert experiences, in our desolate experiences. It usually unfolds in the lost places. And I taught you last week that lost is a location, you understand? You don't know where you are, but God knows exactly where you are. And God's intent unfolds in our desolate, in our dry places. And Joseph is about to make a drastic decision. He gave it some thought. He thought it through, but it was going to be detrimental to his destiny and the destiny of the world and God's eternal purpose. And so God comes with a divine interruption and says, I want you to think about it differently. He tells him, be okay with it. Don't be afraid. Oh, my God. Don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what she is conceived with is from the Holy Spirit. Ah, God, my first point, what God is about to bring into your life is not by power, it's not by might, but it's by the Spirit of the living God. That's why you are afraid of it. God, I'm preaching way better than yourself. That's why you are afraid of it. He was afraid to marry Mary because he knew she was pregnant with something that did not come from him. And because of that, he thinks he can defeat God's purpose and God's intent. But you can't do it. You can't defeat God's intent. You can't defeat his eternal purpose. There's too much going on. Lord, he's orchestrating too much for you to be able, for you. You ain't that powerful. Look at your neighbor and say, you ain't that powerful. You ain't that powerful. Oh, God. Now, this brings me to a second question that I pray somebody gets. Maybe they're shouting online. I don't know. They ain't shouting in here. I don't know what to tell you. But this brings me to my second question. In the text, because this is where we really get into where we need to go. If I can't defeat God's eternal purpose, then my decision being interrupted by the angel tells me that I can hinder God's eternal purpose. So I can't defeat it, Lord have mercy, but I can frustrate it. I can't defeat it, but I can delay it. I can't defeat it, but I can delay it. I can hold it up with my crazy and with my decisions and with my insecurities. I can hold it up. But this brings me to a place of praise, because that tells me that God is so intentional that he will allow me to have to go through my thoughts and delineate, if you will, my thoughts and my actions to get to the place where my intent matches his intent. And so he believes in his word so much that he will allow my lack of decision making and action to delay and disrupt what he wants to do, knowing all the while that he's going to get it done anyway. This tells me that nobody else can do what God is calling you to do except you. Just do me a quick favor and touch three people on your row and say, can't nobody else do it like you do it? Oh, I wish I had somebody in here. I wish I had somebody in here. Oh, back in the day in the body of Christ, we used to say stuff like this: if you don't want your blessing, I'll knock you out the way, and I'll take your blessing, and I'll keep mine. That is biblically inaccurate, because when God has destined an individual for something, nobody can take the place of that individual. In other words, what God has for me is actually really... Oh, I dare you to high five two people and say, it's mine, it's mine, it's mine. Oh, I dare you to get real prophetic in this moment and shout, it's mine. That's my dream. I can't give it to you. That's my destiny. I can't give it to you. That's my anointing. I can't give it to you. You're so insecure,
You're worrying about competing with somebody? Slap your neighbor a high five and say, your only competition is your ego. I wish I had somebody in here. Your ego is the only real competition that you have. God made you uniquely, fearfully, and oh, y'all don't want to talk about it. Oh, y'all don't want to talk about it. Slap your neighbor a high five and say, don't you know who you are? If you understood the origin of the gift that lies on the inside of you, you wouldn't be worrying about no competition. You wouldn't be jealous of nobody. Oh, I'm coming up in here. I'm breaking that jealous attitude, that spirit of a hater. Oh, find the haters in a room and say, come on, come on. Get free from that mess. I'm gonna teach you in 30 seconds on how to spot a hater. Start praising God. Because when you start praising God, the hater on the road gonna go. If you only knew the price I paid for this praise. My God, I feel like preaching up in here. If you've been through what I've been through, if you endure what I endured, if you would have no problem with my praise. Slap your neighbor high five and say, I ain't got no problem with your praise, baby. I'm praising them also. And if you ever understood the power of agreement and hook up with another praising believer, if any two or three of you would gather together in his name, God will show right up. Slap your neighbor high five and say, are you a praiser or are you a hater? Because this next praise you give includes my destiny and your destiny. And if you ain't gonna praise God with me, excuse me while I find somebody to magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his. Go! Hallelujah. Slap somebody a high five and say, it's mine and you can't have it. And you should say the same thing back to them, because we all about to leave here blessed. We all about. Y'all sit down. Hold on. Sorry. I apologize. I'm sorry. I will wreck this room. Don't mess with me. Don't mess with me. So, I only got a few minutes. So. So, y'all messing me up. So, if nobody can take my place, then I might as well do it. Oh, I feel like preaching in here. If there's only one me, then I'm making a decision, watch me now, to divorce myself, not just from destiny, but from history. I'm telling the world my significance doesn't matter through the decisions that I make. I'm sorry to take all the air out the room. So Joseph is about to make a decision that's about to get him written out of history. She's already pregnant. Oh, somebody getting what I'm saying? It's already done. She's already with child. God done already got the thing incubating. Why are you cutting yourself out of history? This thing is going to be birthed whether you like it or not. Oh, who am I talking to in here? Oh, come on, somebody. Woo, hallelujah. This thing is coming. Touch your neighbor and say it's coming, whether you like it or not. Bun is already in the oven. What you got to do is make a decision to raise it and to protect it. The bun is already in the oven. It's already conceptualized. It's Lord Jesus, have mercy. And he's about to cut himself out of history. It's already a problem that most of us don't preach about. There's no way. We go right to Hail Mary. Woman full of favor. You are blessed and highly favored of the Lord. And then Mary, be it unto me. Mary ain't got no problem with it. Be it unto me according to your word. Joseph is about to divorce her privately, but he's got to make a decision, and the only way he can come to the decision is if God interrupts him in a dream. Just parenthetically, can we take just 10 seconds and thank God for the divine interruption? I almost quit, but he interrupted me. I almost stopped, but he interrupted me. Let me bring this thing to a close. I think I gave you enough. So now he's got to make a decision to marry it. Watch it now. And protect it. He can't mix his stuff with God's stuff. So now I'm married. And I can't have her. Because what she's carrying comes from the Holy Spirit. And if I mix my stuff with her stuff, it can't be all God, yet all man. So I will disrupt the divine process. So not only do I have to marry it and protect her and make this decision, I can't touch it. And God comes to have this covenant conversation with this man and says, the woman that you're going to be married in the middle of your betrothal, which now makes it legal, if she would have got pregnant, oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. When they were engaged, he could have just called it off with no record. But now, since they are betrothed, it's legal. And he can't annul it without it becoming public. Oh, I'm preaching way better than y'all shouting. And so now he has to make this decision. I'm there. He has to make this decision. And when he makes the decision, he wakes up. Lord have mercy. Oh, God. And when he wakes up to this decision that he's about to make. Look at your neighbor and say, the next decision you make affects the next 10 years of your life.
I wish I had a church in here. I wish I had a church in here. I wish I had a church. I wish I had a church in here. He wakes up to make this decision. And this decision is about to impact the next 10 years of his life. And so he has to trust that what God told him in the covenant conversation, in the dream, is real. He has to make a decision. Oh, God. That is going to involve not just his destiny, but the destiny of humanity. And be okay with how what is about to come is going to disrupt his life. You want the thing to be birthed, but you don't want no disruptions. You want God to be with you, but you don't want him to disrupt you at all. No setbacks, no difficulties, no hardships, no criticism. And so because you don't want those things, you play it safe. I'm talking to somebody. I'm not trying to hype you. I'm ministering to you. You play it safe. You've entered into survival mode so much so that you're going to cut yourself out of history. While you still long for somebody to recognize who you are. You want them to know your gift and your talent and what you're capable of and what your calling is and what your gift is and what your idea is and what your dream is, but you don't want to run the risk of having to fail in public or be embarrassed in public or somebody talk about you in public or you quit because of one bad review. They didn't like my stuff. They're not your audience. I am tearing it up in here. Y'all are missing this thing. You're running away from folk that don't like your stuff. Slap your neighbor high five and say, they're not your audience. Oh God, who am I talking to in here? Oh, they're not the people that God called you to. They're not the folk you're supposed to impact. I'll prove it to you, and I'm gonna sit down. I'll prove it to you, I'm gonna sit down. We know the story. He marries her. She gets pregnant. The criticism becomes so hard that she has to leave town. This is before the census. The census doesn't come later. You'll hear about that next week. It doesn't come later, till later. Before the census, she has to leave 6 months into her pregnancy. She has to leave. She walks away. Sorry, 3 months into her pregnancy, she leaves. She's 3 months in, almost in her fourth month. And she leaves and she goes to see her cousin, Elizabeth. Elizabeth is also with child. So somebody else's destiny is linked to yours. And when Joseph made that decision, Lord have mercy, Elizabeth is dealing with the fact that what she's carrying ain't moving. One bad review and you about to quit. I'm talking to somebody in here.
You know you're full of something, but no one is acknowledging it, and the thing you're full of is not moving, and you feel like the dream is dead and it's not going to work until Joseph made a decision that I'm going to marry you and deal with the criticism. Now, here comes Mary walking to Elizabeth, and Elizabeth is wrestling with the insecurity and the criticism that I'm pregnant. Everybody can see it. Nobody can see that Mary is carrying just yet. She just started showing. But Elizabeth is 9 months. And everybody knows it. It is very difficult to have everybody see that something is coming, but you feel like ain't nothing there. I am talking to somebody up in here. Who am I talking to? And when Mary walks into the room, what was on the inside as Elizabeth all of a sudden woke up. I wish I had somebody. Woke up because her audience showed up. Jesus was John's assignment. It's not going to move until your audience shows up. God, I appreciate it, man. So you can't get bent out of shape when folks say, I don't like that. That's what you're doing? You ain't my audience. But when you connect with somebody and they go, woo! I'm closing. I hear you, Holy Spirit. I hear you. For years, I dated my destiny. As a pastor, I dated my destiny. I didn't marry it. I took it out, nice dinner. Yeah. Bought it nice things. Called it up when I got lonely. But I didn't marry it. I was betrothed to it. You don't hear me. You don't hear me. I was betrothed to it, but I was prophesying as I was commanded. But internally, my goals were conflicting. Because I wanted to be the business guy, not the preacher guy. And for me to do this, I had to commit. And when I committed and made it legal, I resented it. Because I can see all the ways to make money and do well. But this required so much sacrifice. Y'all don't want to talk. I want to talk to real folk right now. Play folk, church folk, God bless you. God bless you. Kingdom folk, real folk that want to do something, I'm talking to you. You can't flirt with destiny. And for so long, I dated it. Dated it. Always looking for an upgrade. That's what happens when you date. There's no commitment, so it can't keep your attention. And the moment something that looks a little nicer come along, squirrel. Why? Because you have no intent to commit. It tells you that you're looking for something else.
preaching better than y'all, y'all. So I dated my destiny. Never saw myself for what God said I could be. And when I got a glimpse of it, and he showed it to me, and then he told me the price. I sat down and had to think about that thing. And my conscience got so hard that he couldn't talk to me consciously. He had to visit me when my mind was quiet. Y'all don't care what I'm saying. Y'all don't want to talk about it. I know, because you're so perfect and you got everything all figured out. And blah, 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 blah. Yeah, not me. Not me. He brought something into my life that's already pregnant. And it's by the Holy Spirit. It's a vision that's so great, it scared the life out of me. And when he showed me what it's going to be, his name shall be called Jesus. Oh, you don't hear what I'm saying. And when he showed me what the baby was, I said, oh, no, sucker, I am not the daddy. Mari, where you at, Mari Povich? Come on. DNA test, let's go, let's go. I am not the daddy of that. I can't make those payments. That future's too bright. I can't afford that. I'm not capable of protecting that. I'll mess that up. I'll ruin it. I'm talking to somebody that really understands what I'm talking about. I'll ruin it. I'll mess it up. I'm not capable of that. I don't have that pedigree. I don't come from that. God, what are you doing? So I got by dating it. You joined my church when I was dating it. I'm preaching way better than y'all shout. You joined my church when I was dating my destiny. I'm married to it now. I'm married to it now. I wish I had somebody in here. Oh, yeah. This thing is covenant. It's legal. It's binding. I ain't going nowhere. And it's only when you understand that you can commit. And you've been dating your destiny for too long. God has been telling you what it is. He's been telling you what he's going to do, because God is not ambiguous. And he's been speaking to you. He's been showing up. He's been sending folk your way. It's been confirmation, affirmation after confirmation after affirmation. And he still can't get to you. And you're still sitting here looking at me like I'm not talking to you. And here's why. You're fearful. You're afraid. And I understand that. You're not afraid so much of the success. You're not afraid so much of the accomplishment. You're afraid that folk gonna find out it's not from you. It's not from you, because no amount of ability could produce what God wants to produce in your life. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. So God comes and have a covenant conversation, and when he does, he says, don't be afraid. Marry it. Marry it. She's carrying something that's from the Holy Spirit. Marry that vision. Marry that dream. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. It's from the Holy Spirit. It didn't come from you, no way. He put that thing in your heart. God, I'm talking. Who am I talking to? He put that thing in your heart. Come on, stand up all over. I'm done. I'm finished. I'm done. Why are you waiting for me to tune up again? I done tuned up. It's over. It's over. It's over. When you make a decision that is detrimental to your destiny, God interrupts. He says, I wish you would consider doing it differently. I wish you would consider what I have for you. Had Joseph decided that he wasn't going to do it, I would not be reading about his name right now. The scripture would read, and there was a girl by the name of Mary. Oh, God, I'm preaching way better than y'all shouting. Well, he had to come from the lineage of David. Well, they'd have found a kinsman redeemer. They'd have found somebody in Joseph's family, which was of the line of David, that would have redeemed her. Because that was the law. Because she was betrothed. Okay, all right. Y'all don't know when to shout. Y'all really don't. That means when you, if you even decide to reject what God is trying to produce in your life, there's always a kinsman redeemer. Psalms 27 says this way, when my mother and father forsook me, the Lord took me up. I want to talk to somebody who was about to make a bad decision. And maybe it was just one person. I don't know. Maybe my assignment was off. But I don't think so. You've been thinking about it. You've been contemplating. Saying, God, I don't know. Won't I just do this? And God has given you a divine interruption. You know the Lord spoke to you. You know he put it in your heart. And he's saying to you, don't be afraid. I'm talking to somebody right now. Don't you be afraid. If I'm talking to you, just lift your hand up right now. Ain't nobody got to know. Don't you be afraid. Look at that, hands all over the church. Don't you be afraid. Don't be dismayed. For the Lord your God, he is with you. He is with you. And if God is with you, what can man do to you? If the Lord is on your side, what could really happen? You can be in the middle of all the turmoil in the world. 1,000 will fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but none of it will come nigh you. Look at your name and say, God is with you. Don't write yourself out of history. Don't erase your dream because it costs so much. Don't walk away from it because it's so difficult. It wasn't meant to be easy, but it was meant to be. Hallelujah. Come on, grab that hand, that tired hand that's next to you right now that can't even clap. I know the word was good. I want to break something in the next 30 seconds. My assignment today was to speak to people who are on the fence of making a really great decision, a really horrible decision. You were about to decide to go for it, to step into it, to shed all of those insecurities and those fearful thoughts, and those self-limiting beliefs, and you were about to jump in, and you just started believing. And as soon as you started believing, the enemy sent something your direction. I know I'm talking to you. And it silenced you. God, who am I talking? It silenced you. It stopped you dead in your tracks. And it made you so fearful. You say, as soon as I stick my head up, see, that's what happens. And so you decide to bury your head back in the sand. I came to pull you up out of that place. I came to let you know the devil is a liar. God, I feel like I'm talking. I need intercessors and prayer warriors to pray right now. The devil is a liar. He is a liar. He doesn't lie. He doesn't lie. He is a liar. This is your opportunity to step into the fullness of God's intent, to match his intent with your intent. And today, I speak divine protection over your mind, over your dream, over your vision. No weapon that will ever form against you, my God, who am I talking to, shall prosper. And every tongue that rises up against you in judgment, we condemn it right now in the name of Jesus. All the haters and the toxic environment that you've been surrounded in, we loose you from that place right now. And we send folk that's going to help upgird you and strengthen you and pull you out of that dark place and speak into your future and speak life into your situation right now in the name of Jesus. I dare you right now, and for the person next to you, take the next 30 seconds to just speak life over their vision and over their dream and over their endeavors, over their family, over their heart. Come on, come on. Speak life over there. Speak life over their situation. You ain't got to know their situation to speak life over their situation. Come on. Call that thing back to life. Call that dream back to life. Call that marriage back to life. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. You're about to make a bad decision, and we interrupt you in the spirit. We interrupt you in the spirit. We interrupt you in the spirit, and we say the devil is a liar. Here's the strategy. Here's the divine concept. Here's the plan. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. For the Lord your God, he is with you. Come on, 15 more seconds to speak life. Make something else. 15 more seconds. 10 more seconds to speak life. Come on, 5 seconds. 4 seconds. There we go. 3 seconds. 2 seconds. 1 second. Now release that hand and give God a shout of praise. Come on. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, God, let's get out of here. I'm telling you, I'm about to lose it up in here. I'm about to lose it up in here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor and say, did you hear God talking to you? Did you tell him, did you hear him say, it's done? Did you hear him say, it's finished? Oh Lord, who am I? Come on, church. Come on, church. Come on. To him say it's done. To him say it's finished. Lift those hands, receive the blessing of the Lord. It's already done. It's already paid for. May God bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. May God be gracious unto you and give you peace. My God, I feel a praise about to break out of you. Woo. I'm telling you, man, I'm telling you, you need to praise God for what is already done. I'm just trying to tell you what it is. It's already done. 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 Oh, it's already done. Woo! Come on, come on, come on. I'll get you. I'll do like this. I do like this. I'm gonna get this benediction. but for my praises in the room that want to give God praise after this benediction. When I say amen, you can just go ahead to praising God. May God bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. May God be gracious unto you and give you peace. May he surround you with his favor as with a shield. May his angels encamp themselves round about you. And may his blood cover you from now until eternity. In Jesus' name, somebody say amen. Give him praise if you want to. It's all right.